getting into my overview coverage of Drake Iceman episode 3, I have to start off by saying,
but then, you know what I'm saying, I was like, damn, look at the state of hip-hop, like, what's going on?
Because, ladies and gentlemen, what more does the Canadian need to do to let y'all know that he's putting the maximum effort into his marketing rollout?
You guys, see, that's the problem.
And not only is he putting maximum effort as far as drone shots, different set pieces, it's all live. This whole entire storyline as far as the Pinocchio storyline with Kendrick being the artist, John Janik being the person who signed Kendrick to the deal before he put out Not Like Us. I mean, it's all starting to set up the climax, because of course he ends off episode 3 with a cliffhanger right here. As you can see, the Pinocchios are around him, you know, 20v1, but he only has 3 Pinocchios to showcase the 20v1. That wasn't my decision, but at the end of the day, he's basically showing there's a cliffhanger, and the next episode should be the last following up the Iceman release. Now, of course, I've already covered all the particular previews as far as his track, but as far as the track's preview, but I was wanting to get it to, let me see, where's this at? Okay, yeah, go back to that one. Okay, so there was 6 tracks previewed in the entire episode 3 live stream. There was the timestamp song, there was the How I Feel track, there was the what I'm calling the Lake Como freestyle. Wanted to see me go freestyle while he was in the car. And that all, let me show you. So Analytic Dreams video on Spotify to see the video along with the audio. But let me showcase the timestamps while I talk about this. So the first 3 tracks is previewed while he's in the car around the 17-minute mark, as you can see right here. And then the Stuck track, which is more of an Honestly Nevermind type of track, that showcased after his doppelganger for Lucian Grange's, was it daughter-in-law or something like that? I think in general, that was actually kind of crazy as far as, let me see if I can find this right quick. So, let me see, is it this one? Yeah, it's this one. Okay, so as far as his, well, allegedly Drake's Finsta or account on IG, his burner account, plot twist, very interesting how Sophia Richie, Lucian Grange's daughter-in-law, some are saying that this is more of a doppelganger as far as this girl right here, but nonetheless, you know, putting that to the side, because of course people don't even appreciate Easter eggs nowadays, so you know, just forget Drake ever did that. I guess that particularly showcases the segment or the snippet of the Stuck track, which is more of an Honestly Nevermind type of track. I don't believe that's going to end up on the album, but then we continue from that. And then we get a preview of the beat of the track with Yeet, with this at the 48-minute mark. And of course, the beat changes once you get to Drake and Yeet in the club. So I don't know why they played that beat, if they were just going to change it up for when they was in the club together right here. Hold up, what's the club scene? Yeah, right here. So we're in the club playing the Yeet and Drake track. He's basically saying the same lyrics, but it's a totally different beat. And it has an interesting sample. I forget who I forget the name. I don't want to get the name wrong. But he sampled some artist at the beginning. And even before this, he was in the car playing the Cobain remix. I think it was right here. Okay, so this was actually the 48-minute mark. He played the Cobain remix along with Party Next Door, Somebody Loves Me. So this is the only track previewed on Drake's Iceman episode 3 that is out now on all DSPs. So I'm saying all this to let you know, throughout all these previews, while telling the entire storyline as far as the Pinocchio and things of that nature, them trying to destroy his legacy, as you can see right here, keep in mind, all of this is live. I don't think people realize he's not doing like set recordings and chopping them up. This is a whole live stream, and all of this is happening at the same time, to the point where I'm thinking to myself, do people just not appreciate actual effort in marketing rollouts anymore? I feel like they want Drake to go back to the certified lover boy days, where he literally put a bunch of like pregnant people emojis on his cover and called it a day, right? So he comes out with this eloquent marketing strategy, letting you know that the people is out to get him. You know, they're over here having meetings, talking about killing his legacy, as you can see right here. Bunch of Pinocchios around the table. And then you follow that up by the meeting with Universal. Let me see. Is this when it happens? I don't know. Yeah, this is what happens. Okay, the meeting with Universal. This person who's the head of Universal could either be Lucian Grange, or it could be the subsidiary that Kendrick is tied to. It could be John Janik. And then, of course, the Pinocchio that pops up, supposed to be Kendrick, but of course people are not going to put that together, so they're just going to call it trash. Right, all these board members is people from the UMG board and things of that nature. This is supposed to represent Kendrick as far as the Pinocchio like figure, and when you look at it like that, you can tell that the storyline is actually being laid out in front of you during this whole live stream. All of this is happening live once again. And ladies and gentlemen, I think this is why the overall perception is that the stream is trash. This is why people are calling the Drake live stream trash, is because Kostinat came out. And you know, I always say that people are sheep. You know what I'm saying?
Shepherd.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, I got to keep it 8 more than 92 and call it out once again, because when it comes to this, there's a reason why I call people sheep as far as following other reviews rather versus making your own opinion. Now, if you still think it's trash, but a lot of people are off of this, which we're going to get into in a second, are calling it as trash right after Kostinat says it. Once again, Analytic Dreams video on Spotify to see the video along with the audio, because we're getting into Kostinat talking about his experience of the Drake's Iceman episode 3.
Biggest waste of my fucking time of all time.
Huh?
The biggest waste of my god.
Oh no.
R.P. to Armani. R.P. to Armani. R.P. to Armani.
Man getting his thoughts together. Hold up now. Surely he has something positive to say about Drake. I mean, he just says his biggest waste in his, you know.
Yo,
but...
yo, I can't fake it.
Hold up now.
That was ass.
No.
I can't fake it.
Is he about to cry?
I actually can't fake it.
That's actually
wild. That was so ass.
And ladies and gentlemen.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, look at the state of hip hop. Like, what's going on?
Sad day in history, because right after that, I'm telling you, people don't form their own opinion, because here is Rick Ross, one of the best minds in the hip hop game. Pulse.
You guys. See, that's the problem.
And he basically followed it up by giving his own review, but he quoted somebody specifically while giving his own personal review. Let's listen to him right here.
Here's the name of the Aubrey album, White Man. Hmm. For real?
Not gonna lie, White Man's pretty
damn,
funny.
Damn, Champagne Poppy, they say them songs that you just streamed off your new project, White Man. Say that shit ain't dope.
Yo, why you keep calling it White Man? But you see how he's saying the people are saying, right? What's his own personal opinion?
I mean, it's crazy. And then Kostinat, shout out to Kostinat.
He shout him word. Out.
Kostinat, that shit was ass.
So, as you can tell, no actual critique, no specific reason for why they called this live stream trash. Kostinat just said it's some of the he wasted a lot of time in his life. That was his expert critique. So with that being said, the main thing I was want to get into is me talking about the different previews of the tracks. It was 6 of them that they previewed throughout the live stream. The overall storyline, the different set pieces, the Easter eggs. People won't really realize that until like a What's the Dirt or an Easter egg type of Easter egg centric type of YouTube channel probably would come out and talk about the multiple Easter eggs in this video. I laid out some that I think is pretty obvious, but for the most part, I do want people to form their own opinion. That's why I call it out like I see it, because I said Iceman episode 2 wasn't that great, right? Iceman episode 3, I think, improved on everything in one. As far as him being in the car, them uplifting the audio, because of course when they played the audio in the car, it was all janky and jumbled up. They had to fix it after the fact in post. This time, while he was in the car, they played it over the desktop audio. So while he was in the car, they played the actual audio so you can hear what it's actually going to sound like as far as the high quality instead of the car quality. Now anyways, with that being said, there's a lot of things. As far as the Try to Kill My Legacy, I see the fakes around me, the skating on thin ice as far as a certain imagery of the Pinocchio on the ice. Fake love around me, which is cultivating through Drake versus Lucian, which I already showed you right here. You can either think this is Lucian Grange or John Janik. It's really interchangeable, honestly. But this right here is probably the best symbolism I've seen throughout the entire Iceman. And this is all live. Once again, this is...
Yo. You guys. See, that's the problem.
I wish people knew, like, the amount of effort it takes to make something like this. I don't think they would be so harsh on it if they knew, like, how much effort goes into something like this. And this is not even me doing, you know, people are going to say I'm doing tricks on it regardless. So,
you guys.
But at the end of the day, I always say that Kai Cenat really set the blueprint for what, like, a quality live stream looks like. We did not know that live stream could have been taken to this height as far as what Kai Cenat did. What Mr. Beast does is different because it's pre-recorded, it's edited, and given to the finished version is given to you. Kai Cenat does everything live. Drake basically is using that formula for his own Iceman episode rollout. So for Kai Cenat to come out and say it like this, as far as calling it straight trash with no constructive criticism, makes me think there's other things going on behind the scenes that's making him come out so heavily against this live stream. Or he could just not like it. But if he doesn't like it, I would assume somebody who knows Drake's strategy gives more constructive criticism. Like, prime example, when he talked about the Nokia music video, he gave actual criticism and constructive criticism as far as talking about what he would have did as far as having it in an arcade, more lively feel, not as produced as far as the Nokia video that we've seen. And I thought that was a great idea that Kai Cenat had. For this one, he just called it trash. People are running with it, which is why I'm calling it out. So anyways, another thing I want to point out, this is definitely more on the light side. This is the funniest part of the video right here. I'm not going to lie to you. So first, let me see. I want to get all of the Pinocchios because it makes it funny whenever I play it in full. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Okay. So Analytic Dreams video to see the video along with the audio. Oh, well, on Spotify. So anyways, right here, I got to speed it up. And that's another thing. I think people, because they sat through it, maybe they hated it more. But in totality, I think they'll look back and see all of the things that's going on at the same time. All of this is going on at the same time. This is a whole live stream that's going on at the same time. And I think because people had to sit through it, even though it's only an hour and 30, people was not liking it. So anyways, here comes the first Pinocchio, right? This is not the funny part. We're just leading up to it. So the first Pinocchio comes out. Look, he sees Drake went this way, so he's following him, right? And he's following him. That's exactly where Drake went. And then here comes the second Pinocchio. But that's not even the funniest part, right? It's when the third Pinocchio comes through. I was like, hold up, man. I know this is live, but I wonder if he was stressing. He was like, bro, I'm about to be fired. I know they have my scene up, but I'm not there yet. So here he comes, sprinting out of nowhere. And I ain't gonna cap to you. This is some of the funniest content I've seen in a minute. Because this man knew he was about to get fired expeditiously. Look at him. He's running. He's like, I'm in trouble. He's like, oh, this is my shot. He's like, Pinocchio number three. Where are you at? Pinocchio number three. So none of them are running like he is. Look, even the past two, they just walking. Look, they just walking, strolling. That's the second Pinocchio, right? They're just walking, chilling. They're just like, oh, this is nice. This is nice, right? The first one. Let me see the first one. Is he running? Oh, let me see. So the first Pinocchio comes out. This man just cruising too. You know what I mean? Just chilling. He's like, you know what I mean? This is a nice little stroll right here. And here comes Pinocchio number three, being visibly late. They on his scene, production saying in his ear, boy, if you don't hurry up, you're going to get fired. You know how much time you spent on this set piece? So this man come running out of nowhere. He know he got to make it. He finna get fired on the spot. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and gave him a little knuckle sandwich after he was late to his scene. So here he come running out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, I'm late. Pinocchio number three, where are you at? Pinocchio number three, call in, report. So ultimately, that led up to the cliffhanger right here. So it's another set piece, right? And what did Drake pull out of that bag? Oh, no, it's just a bag. Let me see. I don't know if he got that thing on him. I don't think he do. Okay. Anyways, this is a cliffhanger, and then ultimately it says the end. So I think it's phenomenal. I like the Iceman episode 3. I think people are hating on it, but, you know, as somebody who says Drake is my favorite artist, I'm pretty sure people are not going to take my critique as, you know, honest. But even though I keep an A more than 92 all the time, I mean, I call him Aubrey. I call him Aubrey Karen. You know what I mean? I call him the blue collar snitch. You know, I keep an A more than 92. But you like one thing about your favorite artist and they just throw all of that out of the window. So at the end of the day, I really liked it. Shout out to KD for showing up. Showing up. I think it was around the 30-minute mark. Let me see. Then KD gets his own close-up. Pause. I think he got his own close up. Let me see. It's somewhere towards the end. I don't know if KD let me see. Oh yeah, it's right here. KD got his screen time, you know what I'm saying? He was like, LeBron who? You know what I'm saying? Hey, LeBron can show up on Kyle's in that marathon, but guess who's showing up on Drake's Iceman episode 3?
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, look at the state of hip hop. Like, what's going on?
Now, all jokes aside, at the end of the day, people can have their own opinions about Iceman episode 3, but we cannot take away the fact that Drake is actually trying for this marketing rollout and is showcasing a lot of on-point symbolism along with a plethora of previews, which ultimately makes the Iceman series, in my opinion, a success. So with that being said, click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think about Iceman episode 3? And at the end of the day, do you think people are hating on this live stream or do you think they're justified in calling it trash?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.